Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you on this blessed Saturday. This is Brother Nate with the Church of Christ Alive message on the broadcast entitled Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry Broadcast. The phone number is 515-605-9887. That's 515-605-9887. Now, if you have any prayer requests, I pray with you. If you have any questions about the lesson, I do my best in the Lord Jesus to answer for you. If you have any comments, I ask that you limit it to a minute and a half to 2 minutes. And if you're calling to get information on how to obtain copy of the messages the Lord been sending to his angel messenger, I will get that to you as well. And for those of you that don't like asking your questions over the air, giving your comments or your prayer requests, contact me at NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. That's NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. I will get back to you as well. Amen. So without further ado, for those of you just listening, hey, won't you join in with me in prayer? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we humble ourselves together once again in the name of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. We thank you for this opportunity. You have blessed us to assemble together again to go into the Word of God. And Father, we ask this day that your Spirit will be with us. As you have said in your word, where two or three are gathered together in your name, that you will be in the midst. Dear Lord, we're grateful that you are God and keeping his word, and you watch us over your word to perform it. So, Lord, I thank you for this blessed day. I thank you for what you're doing and what you're going to do. And I will give you all the glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Glory be to God. Today we are on a new section of the series as we discuss why Christianity looked the way we look today. And I'm talking about all broken up, separated, you name it. And for some who have the question is, if y'all or you guys are all serving the same God, why are y'all so separated? Why are y'all so divided? And in many cases, against one another. And as I've said to you all that have been listening to the broadcast that I've been doing, you have to go back to what happened in the early church. This is, you know, where the start of the things happened. And then it continued throughout centuries. I want to read an opening verse to you from one of the Lord's books called The Word of the Lord, The Word of the Lord Jesus Christ that he'd been sending through his angel messenger to his people. We're going to go into the Bible, so if you have your Bibles, keep it on standby because we are going to go into the Bibles, which is also another book of God's Word. In the message that's called the 54th message, Jesus sent this message out March the 9th, 1942. So in your prayer closet or in your prayer time, you can go before Jesus with this date and ask him for confirmation. Amen. You can ask him, Lord, did you send an angel out on this particular date with a message? Amen. I want to read from one of the verses in this message. And it is verse 6 in this message, the 54th time that Christ sent his angel messenger to bring words of instruction to the people of God. And the word said, this work shall continue on, for love is the message I bring. The church of Christ shall never again be destroyed. The evil shall not prevail against her, for she shall be adorned with a crown of 12 bright stars and garments of righteousness. Now, one of the key things in this verse that I ask that you really hear is that he said that the church of Christ should never again be destroyed. And for such a statement to be made, that means that you're telling us that at one time, the church of Christ was destroyed. Yes, the church that Christ established and sent his word out and overall had it assembled, was at one point destroyed. And this is what you're looking at Christianity today, all separated. Now, for some that hear this statement, you said that, well, Brother Nate, you're blaspheming because nothing that the Lord builds fails. And Brother Nate, you're saying that power of God failed to keep his people. Well, listen to me closely, because that is not what I'm saying. In fact, that is not what the Word of God is letting you know here. When you read the Word of God, you notice that Jesus will keep his people. Amen. As long as they stay in his will and in his commandments. Now, if you choose to stray away from him, stray away from his commandments, stray away from following him, period, then you walk from under the protected hand of God, which puts you out in an open plain for destruction. And this is what happened with the early church. It was never that Christ's power failed to keep them. It was never a shortness on the behalf of the Lord. It was dealing with the people. And this is why the Lord been sending the Elijah, his angel, to restore all things. And in that, all things involves the church, the believers, the body of Christ being restored back to way the Lord Jesus have it to be. Okay? Now, in series before this that I've been doing, we've been looking at contributing factors that contribute to the destruction of the early church. We have looked at where that the people did not continue to live according to the way Christ wanted them to live in holiness and righteousness. They begin to live after their flesh, walk according to their flesh, pleasing their flesh and their carnal minds. Then we looked at how that evil teachings, that people was following doctrines that was not of the Lord and living according to those doctrines. Well, in this part of the series today, it is titled First Century Church, Wolves Enter In. First Century Church, Wolves Enter In. If you have your Bibles with you, we're getting ready to go into the Bible. Amen. The Lord used the Apostle Paul to warn about some people who were entering the church that was not of him. We're going to look at this that we may understand that this was also one of the contributing factors in the destruction of the early church. And this is one of the contributing factors that brought about or required a need of a restitution and restoration. This is one of the contributors that contribute to what you see today as called Christianity, all broken up, separated, and divided. Amen? Let's go to the book of Acts chapter 20. The book of Acts chapter 20. Now, of course, some of you may say, well, how come I don't hear this talk from too many ministers? How come these many of these big time televangelists and all of this don't go into this? Well, there are different reasons. One of them is that they don't know this. And I'm not trying to sound cocky. The other reason is that they don't care to really go into this. You say, well, what do you mean, Brother Nate? Well, because some of them got a, quote, good thing going on according to them. And, you know, they getting the bukus of money. They getting the bukus of notoriety. And to them, that's a good thing going on. So to go into this kind of history to show that way Christianity looks today is not of God, and how that the way Christ's pattern set down for them to follow is not being followed, and how that everyone that's proclaiming to be a believer of Jesus Christ need to fully come together to be one, will be damaging to many of them to even speak on such a thing. Now, I'm going to read the book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 29 and 30. The book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 29 and 30. The word of God says, now this is what Apostle Paul said. He said, "For I notice that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." Now, if you notice in verse 29, for one thing, Paul said, "For I know this." Now, he doesn't clearly tell you how did he have this knowledge. Now, there's no doubt that the Lord gave him this knowledge. But what I mean is that he don't say, "Well, I know this from having a dream or a vision or intuition from the Lord." He just said, "For I know this." Now, once again, there is no doubt in my mind that the Lord had revealed this to him for him to tell and for us to see. But he goes on to say that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, here's the first question. When he mentioned wolves, was he talking about literal animals that we know as wolves? Well, the answer to that question would be no. Now, you would say, well, how do we know this? Because if we right now take a look at verse 28, where he says, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he have purchased with his own blood." So he mentioned flock here. And at one point with the word flock, you would think of more like animals. But we see that what he's talking about flock here is the church, and the church is the people. So if he's talking about people that he called flock, and flock is a symbolism meaning, then that means that when he said that these wolves were in among them, not sparing the flock, then these wolves has to represent symbolically people as well. Okay? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I want to look a little bit more about the wolves. Talk about that, about the wolves, because he said that after his departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you. Now, we understand that these wolves he's talking about is people, but we want to take a brief research at the literal wolves called animals, and when we understand something about them, then we can transfer that over to dealing with what type of people that Paul was talking about that will come in and not spare the flock. Amen? Now, the first thing I did was look at the word wolves in the original Greek. And the original Greek word for wolves is leukos. And leukos means from the whitish hair. You said from the whitish hair. And also dealing with a wolf. You said from the whitish hair. Okay, you know, well, let's keep that in mind. Now, the next thing I looked at, and I was looking up and researching, and there was this article on the top 10 dangerous wolves in the world, okay? The top 10 dangerous wolves in the world. Not just the top 10 wolves, but it was the top 10 dangerous wolves in the world. And when I was looking up it, it started naming these different type of wolves, okay? It named anywhere from what is called the Arctic wolf. And the description of the Arctic wolf was polar or white wolf. Now, remember, the Greek word leukos means from the whitish hair, okay? And the Arctic wolves is a polar or white wolf, little smaller than the gray wolf, but can be dangerous to humans, okay? Because especially of the gray wolves are especially talked about to be real dangerous. So this Arctic wolf, little smaller than the average gray wolf, but is still considered what? Dangerous to humans. Then it named Iberian wolves, Mexican wolves, which is considered to be an aggressive wolf, Eurasian wolves, which is considered to be cunning, aggressive, dangerous, and have good hunting skills. British Columbia wolves, okay? Alaskan tundra wolves, called to be what? Now, here's the interesting thing about this Alaskan tundra wolf. They said that its dangerous beauty is alluring. They are cunning and aggressive in nature. Now, this is a wolf considered to be beautiful. Okay, now notice the characteristics that I told that you have heard me in this description of these different wolves was all common: cunning, aggressive, dangerous to human, and this one here. Not only is this one, this Alaskan tundra wolf, is cunning and aggressive in nature, but also its beauty is alluring. Okay, so it can deceive or mislead you by its beauty. You thinking, oh, what a beautiful thing, and oh, it's harmless, and come to find out, they're dangerous. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Northwestern wolves. And these Northwestern wolves, now, like I said, that it was the top 10 dangerous wolves in the world. These Northwestern wolves was ranked number one. Described as aggressive species of gray wolves who are extremely dangerous, very fast, and can attack you without warning. Now, if you put all these different things together that I read to you to describe these wolves, this is describing these people that Paul called wolves that was to enter in among the church. They will be aggressive and dangerous to the flock. Dangerous beauty. I could say even maybe like, wow, attractive, and look like, oh, they're so handsome and they're so beautiful, they wouldn't harm no one. This is the description of the wolves, but they were dangerous to the flock. Amen. Because literally, if you put a wolf and a lamb, these two animals in a cage together, pole, lamb, okay? Because the wolf is going to set out to what? Kill them, especially these gray wolves. And especially these 10 top wolves that I was mentioning to you from this list, you put them in with a lamb, the lamb don't stand a chance. You get that? So Paul is letting you know that these wolves, this was what happened with the early church, the first century church. There were those who came in to destroy the flock. Hallelujah. They came in with a spirit of aggressiveness, of destruction, a malicious spirit, an alluring beauty, cunning, and deceptive. And it entered in among the century church. Hallelujah. And contribute to the destruction of the early church. That's like today in many churches. There have wolves that have entered in. They've come in. Hallelujah. I'm going to look at another scripture here in a minute as Jesus describes more concerning them. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, we're going to go to verse 15. Matthew chapter 7, hallelujah, We're going to go to verse 15. Look what the word of God said. Now listen to what Jesus said. He said, first of all, he said, beware. Now beware is a word of warning, right? Amen. If you're walking down the street, or you're finna go to somebody's house, and they say, have a sign sit out there that said, beware of dog, they are warning you that there's a dog there. Okay? So if you ignore the sign and go on in, you're going at your own risk if you ignore the warning. Where here, Jesus said, beware of false prophets. Just like Paul was warning the Christians in the early church, Jesus was warning them also. And he said, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Wow. Did you hear that? These are the ones also that Paul was talking about, okay, that will come in among the flock. Amen. They will have this dangerous, aggressive spirit within themselves to destroy, including the flock. Jesus said here that they will come in sheep clothing. So on the outward, they will appear to be humble as sheep. Hallelujah. Just like that Northwestern wolf that is described to have, the Alaskan tundra wolf that is described to have dangerous beauty. Amen. Because they are cunning. And some of them that enter the church look like they wouldn't even harm a fly, and they look like they was of God. And Jesus said, they will come to you in sheep clothing. You know, when you look at it literally, clothes is something you put on. And it's something that people will see, that can see. And so when he said they were coming in sheep clothing, they're going to look to you literally, outwardly, that they're humble as sheep. Because remember, they have a cunning spirit, just like literal wolves, the literal dangerous wolves, they are cunning. And like one of the wolves, amen, the Northwestern wolf that is fast and can attack you without warning, and that's the kind of spirit of the people that enter the first church. And that's the kind of spirit that is entering these churches today. Wolves have entered in among the flock. These people with dangerous, aggressive spirits have entered the church. And people wondering in their church, what's going on? Why are churches in so much in scramble and shamble? Because one of the reasons is who you let in. Pastors, you were asleep. Amen. See, we as pastors, we're part of dealing with the watchman. And we supposed to be looking out for the flock. But see, what happened was we was misled and deceived by how some appeared. And they appeared as humble as a sheep. So we thought, oh my goodness, this is of God. And we let them join the church, and they have caused nothing but destruction. And that's what happened with the first century church. Amen. The wolves in the end. And Jesus warned them, and as well as Paul, and told them. Paul even told them that, listen, when you read back in that Acts chapter 20, verse 29 we read, you would notice that Paul, in that 29th verse, were actually telling the people that these wolves were going to be successful in entering in. He didn't say, this for this I know. After my departure, some wolves might enter in. He didn't say that. He said, but after my departing, shall wolves enter in. In other words, he was saying they was going to be successful in infiltrating the church. And many wolves have been successful in this day and time in infiltrating the church or among the people of God. And they have caused nothing but destruction. They have caused the flock to be destroyed. And they're misleading them into the ways of sin and destruction. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, looking at this 15th verse again, he said, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves. Now, Jesus said, beware of false prophets. I wanted to look up this word false prophet. Now, when people see the word false prophet, they automatically think somebody that's trying to be a prophet that's not a prophet. And in one sense, that's true. They automatically think it only means that someone that's trying to operate in the office of a prophet when they're not. And that does mean that in part. But what I did is I went to look up the word false prophet and understand there were two different Greek words for that, okay? And the first Greek word for the word false is pseudologos. A pseudologos means mendacious, that is promulgating erroneous Christian doctrine. In other words, it was saying that being a false prophet was a prophet that was promulgating erroneous Christian doctrine. Erroneous, E-R-R-O-N-E-O-U-S, Christian doctrine. Supposed to be Christian doctrine. It was full of errors. Now, promulgating erroneous Christian doctrine. So, I'm going to get out my dictionary here and look up the word promulgating, okay? Amen. As we break this thing down, I'm going to look up the word promulgating to give you the definition of what the word promulgating means, okay? According to Webster, amen, glory to God. Thank God for Jesus. Now, promulgating, okay. Now, like I said, he said, beware false prophets. And so he's talking about false prophet, what he called false prophet. So we're looking at what does the word false mean to understand what kind of prophets he talked about. And according to the original Greek word, it means mendacious, that is promulgating erroneous Christian doctrine. So what does it mean that this so-called prophet promulgating erroneous Christian doctrine? Well, this is what the word promulgate means. Promulgate means to make as a doctrine known by open declaration, to proclaim. So these false prophets were proclaiming that to be Christian when it wasn't. It was full of errors. It was teachings that were full of errors, okay? But they was claiming it to be Christian, to be a doctrine that was a follower of Christ. You get what I'm saying? They were false prophets. These so-called prophets that Jesus warned about that were trying to enter in or that did enter in was proclaiming for Christian doctrine teachings that were full of errors. Paul let you know that they was going to be successful in entering in, and that's what happened. They brought these erroneous doctrines within the church, and the people accepted. Many of them accepted it. Hallelujah. And it was not of God. This is why I've said to you many times on the different broadcasts, like, for example, on YouTube, all these so-called prophets is popping up on the YouTube and telling you, I got a word from the Lord, and the word say this, and the Lord say that, and said, what is it happening? What I'm saying, it's not saying that God cannot give a prophetic word, but he's coming with just your to word to you every single day. And what is happening, what some of you don't see, is that in this thing that's going on, it is trying to lure you away from studying the word of God and just depend on cutting the YouTube on and listen to whoever coming on saying, I got a word for you today. Like you're going to shape your lives just all by what they say God told them to tell you. You understand what I'm saying? And see, our God is a balanced God. Yes, he does give a prophetic word to people, but he also have for you to study the word of God and follow his word. Do you get what I'm saying? What are you going to do when the Holy Ghost don't say anything to you? Well, you still got the word. You understand what I'm saying? See, some of you think, well, I can't do nothing because the Holy Ghost ain't said. Well, don't you have the word of God? Now, there are some specific things that you can't move on that you need the Holy Ghost to speak on. That's different. But for the central thing, you have been given the word. So when the Holy Ghost speaks, or if the Holy Ghost don't speak, you still have the word. And when the Holy Ghost does speak, he won't contradict the word of God. So these false prophets, amen, were people who were spreading and proclaiming to be Christian teaching, erroneous teaching. They was teaching for the error, and they were saying that it was a Christian doctrine. You got it going on today, people. Amen. You got so-called televangelists and these big-time gospel singers that is going around and spreading stuff that does not go with the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's telling you, say, hey, you going to marry this person? It's all right for you to go and live together with them before you get married. You're going to marry anyhow. What kind of stuff is that? And saying stuff like, well, you know, God doesn't speak against, the word don't speak against shacking. See, people, here's the thing. The devil have sought you out. And then he saw that you're not a person that gets in the word. So he said, hey, only thing I got to do is get somebody to just come up to him, appear in sheep clothing, and tell him, thus says the Lord this, and thus says the Lord that. Do you know how many people today is going by this, thus says the Lord, and going by these certain teachings that these people is presenting to them like they're humble as sheep and like they won't harm a fly? But guess what? Destruction is on their mind to destroy your soul. Listen, you better spend time in that word, and you better spend time in prayer. You better be balancing that, because if you don't, you're going to be deceived. And that's what happened with the early church. And one of the reasons that contribute to the destruction of the early church. These wolves was able to come in. Amen. Now, Jesus called them false prophets. I already defined to you what the word false is dealing with in this verse here. Well, I also look up the word prophet, because I told you it was two different types of Greek words. So we understand these false prophets he was talking about were those that was proclaiming erroneous Christian doctrine, okay? Now, the word prophet here, the original Greek word is pseudophore, pseudophore. And pseudophore means pseudophore taste. Okay, that's what pseudophore taste. This means a spurious prophet that is pretending, foreteller, or religious imposter. Did you hear that? So these false prophets, they ain't just someone who was trying to operate in the office of a prophet. They was religious imposters. They was pretending foretellers. Amen? Hallelujah. That ain't just some, that's not just confined to someone that's trying to operate in the office of a prophet, but that's go to anyone that claims to be of the Lord, a religious imposter. You know what? We got a lot of people today that have what you call religious spirits. Oh, they go to church like me and you. Come in to work Monday morning, tell you what they went. What'd you do Sunday? I went to church. But the Bible said they have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Lord said a form of godliness that goes with Jesus said, beware of false prophets that will come to you in sheep clothing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. They're going to look like on the outside that they're of God, but inside, Jesus said they are ravening wolves. This is one of the things that contribute to the first century church destruction. These wolves, these false prophets came in among the people. They was religious imposters. They were spreading erroneous Christian teachings. They was pretended foretellers. Sound familiar today? You got a lot of that going on. You know what? A lot of them see it's easy to infiltrate the church. Amen. Let me drop this on you right quick. And I'm not saying it's over for this person. But let me give you an example, like Snoop Dogg. You think Snoop Dogg didn't see how easy it was to infiltrate the church? All thing he had to do was lay the story down about how his grandmama was, she was in the Lord and she prayed for me. And now you had all these gospel artists come together with him and call and making a so-called gospel rap album. And the same one after he made the album, quickly went to cussing and cussing what? Donald Trump and calling there was no conversion. No conversion, period. And some of these so-called gospel singers was up there justifying their union with him. And Snoop Dogg, on one interview with his church robe on, if I'm not mistaken, had his glasses out, and he made it like he was so educated. And the thing, and he asked, and when they were interviewing, so what do you think about it when the people are talking about, you know, him getting together with these gospel singers, stuff like that? And he was like, "It's the church only made of saints. It's the church only made of saints." Now, any of you that was could be partially in the Word of God should have seen and known that when he made such a statement, that he didn't know what he was talking about. But you know what? He can make that statement. You know why? Because he was easily able to infiltrate among some of the so-called Christians. Yeah, maybe he used to do that. You know, I was talking to a guy some years ago. He used to work at the same place I work at now. This has been about, I'd say, 20 years ago. And we got to talking about the sacrament. And when we got to talking about the sacrament, I let him know that, hey, the sacrament is only given to believers. He said to me, well, Brother Nate, my pastor, now, the church he went was going to, he said, my pastor give it to anybody. I said, anybody coming to the door? He said, yeah, anybody, as long as you're in the church. He give it to anybody. See, even let me tell you something. The sinner man, many of the sinners know it's easy to infiltrate the church. Yeah, they know it. They know they ain't got to live holy, live righteous. Go and say, I like y'all church building. The people make me feel like home. This was my mother's church, my grandmother's church, and I just want to keep it in the family. And boom, what happened? Pick them up, throw them in the water, bloop. Now you got them in the membership role on the book. And you putting the title brother or sister to them. And these persons, people are living like the devil. And get this, by them being a member of the church, they have been able to bring things into the church that is unholy and that causes confusion. Amen. Oh, I know some of y'all don't want to hear that. See, that's what happened with the early church. I told you, what you're seeing today is a result of the things that started with the early church, okay? The first century church. The warning went out. The Apostle Paul told them. Jesus said, it went out. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I want to read a scripture to you from one of the Lord's other books called The Record of the Nephite. And I'm coming from what is called the Book of Nephi. And The Record of Nephi is the third book of Nephi. Now, I know all of you guys don't have these books, not yet. But once again, I've given you the information on how to get in contact with me to get even this book. Amen. Amen. Now, Jesus, and I know some people don't want to hear this because some people think that Jesus was just confined to Jerusalem, that all he dealt with was the people over there in Jerusalem. Well, you know what? The Lord had people over here on this continent. Yeah. He, during prehistoric times, he led, and when you look in, what is it, 2 Chronicles chapter 36, during the time of Zedekiah, when the Lord sent the prophets in the land to tell the people to repent, they started what? Mocking them and killing them and stuff like that. That there was one among the people there in Jerusalem named Lehi, and God led him away from Jerusalem over here. Okay. And they are of the house of Israel, his descendants there. And they are also of the house of Joseph, who is of the house of Israel. Okay. Over here on this continent, they end up being divided into two people, one called the Nephites and one called the Lamanites. Well, the Nephites were considered to be the people of God, okay? God dealt with them. They had the commandments of God, judgment of God, you name it. And the Lamanites was those who wasn't, okay? So after Christ was crucified and resurrected, he came over here to visit the Nephites. Amen. Oh, what? Wait a minute. Y'all don't think Christ could come over here? Oh, wait a minute, you're still thinking that Christ, now when Christ came in the physical, in his body physically, he could not be everywhere at one time. And he had to walk or ride to certain places because he was here in the physical like us. But people, he rose, okay? Hallelujah. And so he could come over here. He didn't need an airplane ticket. He didn't need a bunch of horses. He didn't have to go like, he didn't have to like wait like 3 years to travel to get over here. He come over here after his resurrection. And so he came over here and he started teaching the people over here according to his word. And I want to read to you this third Nephi, chapter 14, verse 15. This is what he told the people over here. He said, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves. Now, some of you will say, that's plagiarism, because that came right from the Bible that you read, Brother Nate. So this regular Nephi book you're talking about is a plagiarism. No. Let me ask you a question. You mean Jesus Christ? We're talking about Jesus Christ now. We ain't talking about no fake, no apostle. We ain't talking about no, but you mean Jesus Christ. The same words he told you, you mean he couldn't tell me? Is that what you're saying? Help me out here. Because some of you act like that, okay? Now, to see if it would pass over to say, oh, these words were never said anywhere else. It was just here. No one else said, no. The Nephite recorded that, hey, Jesus said these words. He taught these same words to the multitude over here that he said to the multitude over there in Jerusalem. Why can't my God, my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, why can't he tell me the same thing he told you? See, that's one of the problems that's going on among the people of God. They are accepting some things that is contradictory, especially to what is already written. And many of them are accepting it because it makes their flesh feel good. So they say, oh, that sounds like that is the Lord. Well, I know the Lord told you this, but he told me this. So Jesus told the people over here in his teaching them the same thing he told the people in Jerusalem. Beware of false prophets. They come to you in sheep clothing. So he was warning the people. See, this thing was this word was to go to all God's people, no matter where they was at. That wolves was going to go to try to enter in, and they were successful. Even among the people of Nephi were here. Okay? They were successful. Amen. And that's been a history throughout. And this is why the Lord has to restore, has to bring the restitution and restoration of all things. Amen. Hallelujah. So he didn't deviate from what he told that we read in the Bible, what he told the people over here. He didn't deviate from it. He didn't come over here to the Nephi and say, well, you ain't got to beware of those in false prophets that come to your sheep clothing. You ain't got to worry about that. See, if he'd have said that, if I'd have read that to you, then you have every right to go, I kind of question. You know, you have every right. Spoke the same thing that he told the people in Jerusalem. But see, just like many of the people, the Nephites didn't heed it. Many of the people over there in Jerusalem didn't heed it. The church didn't heed it. And so this is one of the things that contribute. And see, many of the churches today have not heeded this word. And therefore, wolves able to come in among them, keeping the same thing going like it was in the early church. Because the church is accepting anybody. Now they're accepting people because of their social status. They're accepting people because of their wealth. Okay? Man, if you're a Hollywood star, you can get into many of these churches. You done won 5 or 6 Grammys and you all on TV. Oh, man, the church would love to have you. You know why? Because that helped bring more money in for them. Well, let's talk about the truth, people. Let's not hide it. Let's talk about the truth. More money, more publicity. Amen. You have some of these, it was this guy, I don't know if his name is T.I. or whatever, But remember when Kanye West came to New Birth, what was it, New Birth, the church where Eddie Long used to pass it, but now you know who's pastoring there now? Jamal Bryant, Jamal. Now, anyhow, do you see when Kanye West came there and he claimed to be a Christian? Do you see how many people it drew there? Okay. Guy, I think his name T.I., whatever, was complaining about how they was passing around the plate or whatever for getting money, and that bothered him. But see, listen, this stuff was right up the people's alley. It wasn't about really just receiving him as a Christian. Listen, if you think that's all it was about, that's you. That's you. This thing was a big-time publicity thing, okay? I just got to lay it out like it was. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I want to read another verse. This is from the Word of the Lord. Amen. It's coming out of what is called the 94th message. The 94th message, the Word of the Lord. Now, Jesus sent this message out June 11, 1975. Like I said before, that means you can go to Jesus and say, Jesus, did you send a message out on that particular day? June 11, 1975. When you are in your prayer closet, when you're in your private time of prayer, I gave you a date now that you can go to Christ. So ain't no need of you sitting up there, keep talking about, why is he reading these messages? How do you know these messages of God? Well, if you ain't searching it out yourself, all you're doing is talking. Now, the 94th message, and I'm going to read one of the verses, which would be the 11th verse. Now, I want you to hear what Jesus said. The word that his angel brought. This is what he said. He said, be very watchful unto prayer, that evil will not succeed as wolves in sheep clothing. Well, see, the early church didn't fully heed that. And many of the churches today is not heeding this word. But he's telling those who want to be of the bride when Christ come back for, he said, be watchful unto prayer. So you got to have a consistent prayer life, and you got to be on the lookout. You just can't accept everything at Facebook value. And that's one of the things we messing up at, okay? Amen. Just accepting everything at Facebook. You know, people come in, you know, I'm really for the Lord. Praise the Lord. I really thank God that he is Lord. Amen. I'm really, you know, he is the Lord of my life. And we ain't checking God on nothing. Nothing at all. We're not checking him. Amen. Because many of these wolves have scoped out the people. Don't you think that people ain't scoping? You know, many times people start scoping you out, see where they can get from you or get on you or get around you, or see can they just enter your home and stuff, you know. And many times when you stand firm, then, you know, they want to call you mean. I ain't talking about you cussing them out and stuff like that. I'm talking about actually saying, you know, not jumping on the boat so quick. They said, well, you know, that brother Nate is a mean person. You know, they want you to just, oh, just come on in. No, people, you don't even need to do that with your own home. You get that? Some of you have allowed people into your home to even stay. And they were wolves. Amen. They were wolves. Lord help us. See, this, like I said, this is one of the things that contribute to the destruction of the early church. Now, I'm going to come back with a part two of this. But this is what I want you to understand. This is one of the things that contribute, that was involved in the contribution to the destruction of the early church. The wolves enter in. And they were successful, destroying the flock. And when I'm talking about destroying the flock, not just overall literally killing, but figuratively influenced them into sin and holiness and leading them into all kind of doctrines and teachings that were not of God. Just like today. You know, I remember, and I think I did a broadcast on this about a year or so ago, that it was this church, I think they were up in Canada, where they had a pastor, which was, I think, a woman. But they found out that this woman was a transgender. So now the church is split. Yeah, some of them say, oh, it's no problem. Just let her go on. And the other one said, no, this is not of God. This is not right. So eventually, they end up letting the pastor go. And when I last looked at the report, this person that left that church now was down at some church in New Orleans. Okay? Amen. How is it that these abominable teachings and things like that, how is it, now think about this, how is it that it's able to split a church? How is it that the wolves can bring some doctors in that's erroneous, full of errors, and can cause a split in the church? If everybody's on the same page with the word, it shouldn't cause no split in the church, now should it? But it does. Which tell you that everybody's not on the same page with the word. I hear today so many so-called Christians who are starting to justify abomination. Some of them went to a point and said, well, you know, God spoke it in the Old Testament. We're in the New Testament today, and it just doesn't resonate today. To justify. So you got whoever in the pulpit. Now you're getting to a point you don't even know if you're looking at sometimes, if that's a real man or a real woman. Well, let's get real about it. And you up there saying, well, we just accepted Pastor Joe, and you find out Pastor Joe used to be Pastor Josephine. Okay? Let us pray. Father, we thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is God. We're grateful for the many things that you've done and what you're doing. And Father, we thank you today that, Lord God, that you watch us over your word to perform it. Thank you for blessing us. It is assembling this gathering together in Jesus' name. And Lord God, we will be careful to give you all the glory and honor and praise. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Thank God today for the written word. Thank God for all you've been listening. Don't forget, later on at 7 o'clock, we have another broadcast, the full gospel message with Brother Eddie Lee at 7 o'clock p.m. So once again, this is Brother Nate with the Church Christ Alive, the message on the broadcast entitled Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry broadcast. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.